What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Wilshire Financial. If you need $150,000 or more for any worthy business project, they can help you. Loan approvals between 24 to 48 hours and funding within 5 days or less. Wilshire Financial is your go-to spot. Their team of experts are waiting right now for you to give them a call. Their number is 702-747-5648. They have experts standing by waiting to answer your questions, so give them a call now. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. While everybody's piling on in the room, I need you guys to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop it up as we always do. I might even take some calls later on in the broadcast, but let everybody know that we're live right now. What we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. Don't y'all move a muscle. Let everybody tap in. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, Squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
What's up, family? As you all know, it is tax time right now, and I know you need to get those tax refund checks back to bring your business up to speed. So bring your business to Comos Reliable Refund. Get expert help from a CPA for your business and your individual taxes. You can follow them on Instagram at @KOMOS_reliable_refund or reach out to them at ComosReliableFund.com. That's KOMOSReliablerefund.com. Did you know that research has proven that deep focused creative writing can improve working memory, lower mental stress, and increase your creativity and bring about a general sense of well-balanced being? Check out deepwriting.live. That's a one-day interactive online seminar that teaches teens and adults through deep, expressive writing how to move away from everyday confusion and frustrations that life throws your way so that you can be focused, vibrant, and on point. Go to deepwriting.live to enroll right now and learn more. Spots are very limited, so go right now, deepwriting.live. It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal or your business taxes. So get in touch with them right now at www.clarkprotaxes.com. Their calendars are open right now and they're pre-booking for the new tax season. That's clarkprotaxes.com and follow them on Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes. Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely, go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Let's get down to it.
You are now tuned in to the Godfather of the Game. Often imitated and always celebrated.
Stop sloganeering. Sloganeering kills people.
Hey, yo, check this out. It's
Tariq Nasheed on Tariq Radio.
Let's go. Let's go.
Be my goddamn stumbleow.
Oh, we're back. We're back. We're back. Oh, what's going on, family? We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have you guys tuning in on our regularly scheduled broadcast. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I see some people got the Save Mason Tennessee hashtag going on right now. We brought a lot of light to that situation. Shout out to everybody who's still putting in work, trying to get things in order out there in Mason, Tennessee. That's where the suspected white supremacist comptrollers and other people are trying to take the city's charter and take control of the town's finances. We have brought a lot of international attention to that situation, and I'm glad to see a lot of people on top of it. There is some kind of beef going on right now. There's some kind of online beef. I don't even know what it's about. I've seen a couple of people kind of going back and forth online about the situation happening down there. I don't know what the beef is. People are beefing about a hashtag. I really don't even know the particulars of it, but man, that ain't it. Whatever that is about, whatever that thing is, that ain't it, man. People got to be focused. People going to get thrown off their square over a hashtag. Man, no, that ain't it. We got to be focused. Everybody has to be focused on what's happening down there in that town. That is a problem. Whenever there's an issue and we get folks on the ropes, all of a sudden people slow down and start bickering about inconsequential nonsense. I kind of don't want to know what's going on, to be honest, because it's something that ain't got nothing to do with anything. But I see that people are beefing now over the hashtag or something. It's something about a hashtag, and some certain people want credit for this. And man, listen, folks, let's get off that. We got to get credit for everything, man. Let's just get some stuff done. Let's get some stuff done. Let's get some stuff done. Let's get some stuff done. We got a lot of folks out here. Oh, I got to be acknowledged. I'm not talking about anybody in particular because I don't know the details. I don't know the details of what's going on with the hashtag beef. But whatever it is, this ain't the time for that right now. That's very off code right now. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that at all, man. Let's handle business. Everybody has to be on the same page in making sure these white supremacists don't take over that town and mess up the money. Somebody said it's some former ADOS I don't even want to know. I don't know. Again, I don't know the particulars. People in the chat room are saying it's some former ADOS folks that's trying to cause confusion. I don't know. Oh God, y'all leave that alone, man. Everything ain't about, hey, let's get credit and do a victory lap. And let's get some stuff done. Let's get some results done. Damn. Okay. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But let's just stay focused on what's happening out there. We got to do things in a very honorable way. And honor means being on code. This is what we're talking about today. We're talking about the importance of honor. We have to stay focused on what it means to show honor, to show respect, to have honor. In order to have honor, you have to show honor. You have to give honor. You have to give respect. you don't have to be on some ego thing all the time. There's so many black folks who are ego deprived, as our good brother John Henry Clark said. There's so much ego starvation, so many black folks who don't get acknowledged. When something happens and you contribute to something, boy, I gotta get props. I gotta get props right now. Just gotta get props. Gotta get acknowledged. It has to be about me. We gotta get results, family. And sometimes we have to understand we have to work as a team. Now, I understand sometimes when you work as a team, there's some team members who go rogue. A lot of us do a lot of work, and then there's some so-called team members who want to jump out here in the forefront like, hey, look at all the great things I've done. You see, we get a lot of that stuff from the white supremacists because that's how they are. They take credit for everything. We do all the work and they take credit for it. See, we don't want to be like them. We don't want to be like them. And I do understand that there are some people you do want to be acknowledged. If you're doing a lot of work, you don't want folks to come in and act like they've done all the work and, you know, try to take credit. I get that, but we still have to stay focused. We still have to stay focused. Now, as far as this thing that's going on, and I'm just using the Mason, Tennessee thing as an example, that's a collaborative effort. We have to understand no one person is making that pop off. The reason why we're getting traction with that is because a lot of us have contributed to making that an issue. A lot of us, we've contributed to that, to bringing that in the forefront. I was one of the first people to break that story nationally, well, internationally, but I don't want credit because we still haven't gotten the work done. I don't care, give a damn about no credit. This story was just kind of a local thing and it kind of died out. And I did my broadcast about it and put some international light to it. I don't want credit. I don't give a damn about no credit. Let's get the word out. Let's get some work done. Now, there's some other people out there in the area in Memphis and in Tennessee that's boots on the ground that's out there putting in work. There's some other folks online who's been making calls. Great. Again, this is a community thing. You see, this is a collaborative effort. Nobody's going to take no one piece of credit. Shout out to Judge Joe Brown. He was in another room in a Twitter space giving some good legal advice on what needs to be done. That's a contribution. So a lot of people who are putting many hands in the pot, those are contributions. No one person. We don't have to get on this whole one person has to get credit because we haven't gotten things done yet. We still have a lot of work to do. So we got to be very focused on what needs to be done. We're talking about honor. Honor means you do things with integrity that's going to benefit the collective. That's an honorable thing. And when you do that, you're going to get your props. Now look, there's nothing wrong with wanting your props. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be acknowledged for your hard work, for your efforts, for your influence. Because even if you are an influential person, you work for your influence. You, in order to be an influential person, you have to put in work. You have to build a resume that shows that you are a person of integrity so that people will be influenced by you. Influence is just not a fly-by-night type of thing. That's something that has to be worked on. It has to be cultivated. Influence is something that has to be earned. That's why a lot of people are jealous of people who are influential. They always have to flip it and make it seem like they're manipulating the public, like everybody's dumb except them. Everybody's not dumb. People just trust certain influencers because certain influencers created a lane of honor and integrity and honesty. So people trust what they say and they see that they're coming from a sincere place. When you're coming from a genuine, sincere place, you're going to get the honor that you're supposed to get. It's not about getting credit for every little thing you do. If that was it, if it was about credit, I'd be on here bragging all damn day. I do stuff and sometimes forget that I did it because my thing, I want to see results. I want to see results because you're going to get the credit when that time comes. People recognize what you do. People are going to see what you do. People know how you get down. Yeah, somebody mentioned Judge Olu Stevens. Shout out to Judge Olu. That brother, he don't really give interviews. He don't brag a lot, but that brother does what he needs to do. That's why we trust him. That's why we get behind him. We got to understand the importance of honor. Honoring yourself, honoring the community, honoring the code, having a commitment to go out here and benefit the collective. See, we can't do this thing on our own. See, this is why the white supremacists like us being in this mindset of getting a Negro in a high place, getting a black face in a high place, and we think just one black person in a certain position, that's what we need to strive for. That's why they're this Ketanji Brown woman, they keep parading her around and talking about her getting nominated for the Supreme Court, and they had Corey Blissey out here all caping and doing all the performative buck dancing. Nobody cares. If you notice, the black folks on the grassroots, we don't give a damn. White society don't really give a damn. White women don't give a damn. I want y'all to notice, they keep trying to make this seem like it's some kind of win for black society. Notice what they're not doing. Notice how they're not saying it's a win for women. You understand? Notice they're not going that angle. Have y'all noticed that? There's not one media outlet that has talked about, oh, this is a great moment for women empowerment. A woman being on the Supreme Court. Oh, man, this is feminism. You haven't heard a peep from the white feminist organizations. Have y'all noticed that? None of these white feminist organizations, none of these women's groups, they're not propping this up because this is not a win for them. They know it's not a win for them. You know, this is just a tokenized Negro who's going to do what they say anyway. So it's not some kind of groundbreaking thing for them. And plus, she's laying up there with the zaddy. So that's the white women's groups don't play like that. They're like, that's why white women don't like Candace Owens. Candace Owens is somebody who's propped up by white men. White women don't like Candace Owens. Because she's out there taking them zaddies. It's back just like in the slave times. White women, they hated bedwinches. Just look at the movie 12 Years a Slave. That stuff was real. How the designated bedwinch would be abused by the white women. Because they knew the white man, you know, he liked that dark chocolate sexually. He had a fetish for that. It's like a drug. Not that he liked the women, but he liked the fetish. They all got that sexual fetish when it comes to some sisters around. That's not a good thing, y'all, because it objectifies you. But I digress. But like I said, it's about honor. The importance of honor is very important. And it's important, family, that we honor our ancestors, our forefathers. Because, see, we don't want to get into the habit of being like the white supremacists. They have no honor, ladies and gentlemen. They have no honor. And I'm going to give you an example how they don't have no honor. The way they parade these white athletes around and then have them competing as women, that's not honorable, ladies and gentlemen. And they know it's not honorable. And notice they only prop up these white males who are competing as women. They prop them up because, see, the white supremacists are desperate. They have to have a win, ladies and gentlemen. They are so desperate for a win, they'll do anything to have a white face in a winning position. And in the sports arena, the white males are not dominating the black men in sports, even sports that's been designated for white people like golf. You have Tiger Woods dominating that. When you think about golf, you think about Tiger Woods now. But in all the other sports, you have black males dominating the sports. Even in women's sports, Venus and Serena, the WNBA players. So these folks, they got to get some wins. So how do we get some wins as white supremacists? Damn, the white women can't compete with the black women. The white men can't compete with the black men. Hey, we got an idea. Let's put a wig on a white man and have him compete as a woman. That way he can win. Family, there's absolutely no honor in that. Let's keep it a buck. There's no honor in that. Absolutely no honor in that. And see, the thing about sports and even warfare, there has always been, historically, when non-white people fought or competed with each other, there has always been a level of honor in warfare. Even though we're battling, if I beat you, I'm going to beat you like a man. I'm going to beat you fair and square. I'm going to beat you with honor. If we have a sports competition, in ancient times, black people would engage in sports competitions, and it would be about honor. The strongest man, or the most cunning man, or the most skilled man, or the most thorough man or woman, that's the person who's going to win. The person who trained, who's on an equal playing field, two people who are equally yoked, they get together and they use skills they developed in order to outmaneuver their competition. There was an honor to that if you did it the honorable way. And that's why after competition, people shake hands, they bow to each other, they respect each other. You respect the person who won. You give that person props, and then you learn from that. There was honor about that. Even in warfare, if your crew or your army went up against another army, whoever won, there was still a respect for the army. It was a respect for your competition, your competitors. You fought like a man. There was no sneaking into people's societies, pretending to be their friend, and then sign a treaty, and then renege on the treaty. That was something that Aboriginal people, they looked down upon that. And that's still somewhat looked down upon because there is no honor. But we have to understand, when we're dealing with the white supremacists, they have no honor. White supremacists, they have zero honor. They'll take any kind of win they can take. This is why they like running up on people, ambushing folks. That's their claim to fame, going around ambushing, and then they have their system to protect the ambushed cowards. The ambushing cowards, you see? There's no honor in that, but let me tell you where there is honor. There's honor in people who use guerrilla warfare tactics and beat them at their own game, who are the Black Maroons. Y'all notice I always talk about the Black Maroons. See, the Black Maroons beat them at their own game. They don't like talking about that. They don't like talking about how in this country, there were Maroon societies set up and they were doing the same types of ambushing on their asses. They don't like to talk about that. They cannot complain. They can't say, oh God, these niggas weren't fighting fair, because no, they were giving you some of your own medicine and they were losing against these Maroon colonies. And the only reason most of these Maroon colonies broke up was because of the Civil War. After the Civil War, there was no need for them to have these Maroon colonies. They can come out of these swamps and just live in regular society. You see, even in the ambush game, they lost. Especially with the Black Seminoles and all these people. But going back into the sports arena, talking about these folks who sit up here and you got to put a wig on a white man and have him compete. Now, they know there's no honor to that. They know there's no dignity or integrity to that. So what they do, they always get these other groups and try to compare them to real people who've been oppressed. Us, we have been systematically oppressed for real. We are the only people with a very legitimate grievance about systematic oppression. And everybody knows that. So they have to get these groups who are not oppressed, who are just basically people competing with no honor. They have to get them around us and try to compare them to us. They have to latch them onto our movements, ladies and gentlemen. Now look at this nonsense here. That Leah Thomas person, this man who's competing as a woman, a white woman wrote an article in the mainstream media talking about Leah Thomas deserves the same praise we give any other athlete, including Jackie Robinson. And this person got roasted so bad, when you click the article, they had to change the headline inside. They had to change it. Leah Thomas NCAA championship performance give women sports a crucial opportunity. So they had to change it. And it's a white woman, Cheryl Kuki, who wrote this. This is a white female feminist. This is a white feminist who wrote this nonsense. So she got clowned so bad trying to compare this person to Jackie Robinson. They had to change the headline because of the backlash. They got such a backlash because of it, they had to change it, as they should have gotten a backlash. Give me a damn break. Give me a break. This person has nothing to do with the legacy of Jackie Robinson. Absolutely not. This man, Jackie Robinson, faced real Jim Crow anti-black racism. This person here chose to put on a wig and compete as a damn woman. They are not no civil rights icon, and they are not comparative to foundational black Americans. Please stop it. I can't wait until we do Buck Breaking 2, ladies and gentlemen. I really can't wait until we do Buck Breaking 2. Buck Breaking 2 is coming, and we're gonna go harder, pause, with Buck Breaking 2. But check this out, though. Like I said, this game only works when it comes to them letting white men run around here competing as women. Because y'all remember a couple of years ago that South African athlete, Caster Semenya? Remember Caster Semenya? This was a woman who was competing, but they were like, wait a minute, you got too much testosterone. So they did all types of genetic tests on this woman. And they were like, nah, you can't compete as a woman. No. We did some genetics. No. You got way too much testosterone. She lost her case to compete as a woman in all the races. You see? They didn't let her get away with that. No. Not only her, remember in Namibia. It was some Namibia females. They barred them from the Olympics because they had too much damn testosterone. Now, if you're a black woman and if you got too much testosterone, no. You gotta go. Now, if it's a whole white man, a white man who lived as a man for 35 years and all of a sudden he puts on a wig, yeah, he's fine. Now, come on. We gotta protect his civil rights now. It would be discrimination not to let this white man play. Oh, no. This is a white man. I'm white and I say so. We have to change the rules. It's a violation of his civil rights if we don't let him compete as a woman. Understand, he thinks he's a woman. If he feels he's a woman, that means he's a woman. But what about those African women who are running? Oh, no. We did some genetic test and whoop-de-whoop and whoa. So now it's a genetic thing with the black folks, but the white man, I'm white and I say so, whatever he feels like he is that day, we're just going to go with it. No genetic testing or nothing. Notice white folks don't get the Henrietta Lacks treatment. They don't get the Sarah Bartman treatment where you got to poke and prod and do all types of medical tests and look in their ass and look all under their scrotum and look in their titties. And you ain't got to do all that with white folks. Whatever they say, you go with it. If a white LGBT person's, whatever they say they are that day, go with it. And they can do anything they want to do. They can compete as a woman. They can do anything as a woman because they're white and they say so. See, this is why we call out the white LGBT community, because they use white supremacy in order to get certain things done for their group. They still rely on their whiteness, which is another form of white supremacy, which puts us in the same bag, which makes them not equivalent to us, because we don't have a golden card of a supreme status in order to cash out when things go bad for us. That makes you, by definition, not comparable to foundational black Americans, because you can use your whiteness to get any type of law in your favor, to get anything in your favor, to get the corporate and social media and the government on your side. That's because of your whiteness. But let me explain something else to you. Something else you got to watch out for. I want y'all to check something out. Because they do this thing where, if I say I'm a woman, whatever gender I say I am, you all have to go along with it. Whatever gender I say I am, you got to go along with it. And if you don't go along with it, well, that's a violation of my civil rights. And I want y'all to look at this here. I saw this clip and I want to play this clip for you. Because now this is a white trans person, because they take it to different levels. See, once they get one door open, they take it to different levels. I want y'all to see this here. Hold on 1 second. I want to, where's that? Right here. This is what I want to show you. Now I want y'all to listen to this person here. This is a man who's a trans woman or whatever, but listen to what he's saying. I want y'all to hear this. I want y'all to hear this. Listen to this. Hold on.
Day 8 of being a girl, and I've gotten some messages that are saying that I need to be calling myself a woman and not a girl. And I didn't even know that some women were offended by being called girls, so that's really good to know. But for me, the word girl feels great because I never got to be one growing up, and it feels very able to make mistakes and growing and changing and evolving, whereas the word woman feels very strong and confident and powerful, and that still intimidates me a little bit. So I'm gonna keep calling myself a girl. Hope that's okay. Love ya.
Okay. Did y'all catch that? Okay, family, this ain't just somebody babbling, okay? This ain't somebody babbling. Let me explain what that means right there, okay? That's not somebody who's just babbling. Y'all already know where that's going, right? You know where that's going, right? You already know where that is going. You know where that's going. Because if I can say I'm a trans woman and everybody is supposed to respect my gender and respect whatever I say I am, y'all better respect me if I say I'm a trans girl now. Yeah, I'm a man, but I'm a girl now. Don't think it's just mental illness. No. Don't think it's mental illness. Let me show y'all where they're going with it. Let me show you where they're going with it. So now that it's been established, I can identify as a woman and there's civil rights laws that's going to protect my right to be acknowledged as a woman. Now I want to be acknowledged as a little girl because I never got to live my life as a child and being a woman intimidates me. This is some stuff coming out of a think tank, by the way. This is not some crazy person on TikTok. This is something that's put out there from think tanks. So now I'm a girl. I identify as a girl. So you have to respect my gender and my age. I'm not a woman. I'm a girl now. Now, if you're going to respect me as a woman, you got to respect my rights as a girl. Now, if I go out here and I have sex with a little boy, it's not pedophilia because legally I'm recognized as a girl. Do you see this sick nonsense that they're trying to do? This is where this is going. This is where, I'm telling y'all, this is where it's going. All of this, I can identify with, I'm trans woman and I'm trans age and I'm transracial, all of that stuff, in order to get all of that stuff recognized as a civil right. It's very important to get it recognized as a civil right. So now when they start molesting these damn kids, they can say, well, I'm a girl too. I'm a trans girl. I'm mentally the same age as the person I molested. So it's not pedophilia because we're mentally the same age. Family, this is where this sick ass nonsense is going. That's where it's going, family. That's them trying to protect these damn pedophiles. There's a reason why they got this damn Mammy Judge out here. Y'all really want to know why they got her out here? Because that woman's been light on pedophiles, by the way. That Mammy Judge that they got out here in the Supreme Court, she's been very lenient on pedophiles, okay? And a lot of people have been calling her out on that. They've been asking her questions about that. That's why Corey Bussey was out here trying to cape for her, okay? That's where this stuff is going, man. That's why they got that woman on the Supreme Court. They're about to get some pedophile. They're trying to be as lenient as they can on these damn pedophiles out here because white supremacists, boy, they need any bone you can throw them. And they understand that pedophilia is a part of white supremacist culture, family. So they're trying to decriminalize all of these white folks. because they know all of these charges. Damn near most of the pedophile cases is them. Most of the pedophile cases is them. They know white folks get caught up with that pedophilia majorly. So they got to come up with ways to be more lenient with them as far as the pedophilia. And they got some mammy who got a zaddy at home. So she going to do anything that zaddy and other zaddies tell her to damn do. Man, we got to be on top of our game out here. They're already light on the white pedophiles, by the way. And speaking of pedo, people were talking about R. Kelly today because there was a video of R. Kelly. He was in jail. He was singing. It was another inmate. He was singing to the inmate's family, whatever, and people were talking about R. Kelly. Let me say this about R. Kelly. Regardless of what you think or how you feel, R. Kelly got railroaded, and he actually shouldn't be in jail. Let me say that. I'll say that. And that's not to defend pedophilia or anything. But based on the law, R. Kelly shouldn't be in jail. And it might be a chance he gets out. Let me say that one more time. Because see, what they did, they ran this game on us with R. Kelly. They were talking, oh, he's messing with these underage girls. Yeah, which is bad. And yeah, you should get punishment for that. Yes, you should. The same punishment everybody else gets. Yes, you should get the same punishment everybody else gets. Don't dust off some racist ass man act and then put it on R. Kelly. No, I'm not co-signing that at all. I'm not co-signing that. And I'm not going to be shamed. If you say something about the law, the white supremacists put their flunkies out here to say, well, damn it, man, if you sound like you trying to defend pedophilia or something, damn, man. Okay, that's dumb Sambo talk. Because what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. All these RICO convictions, no, I ain't co-signing that now. Yeah, messing with underage girls, horrible. Yeah, get your couple of years or whatever you're supposed to get for that like everybody else gets, all right? But some damn RICO, no, I ain't co-signing that. And definitely not the Mann Act. Let me tell y'all something. R. Kelly getting convicted, that wasn't a win for black girls or black women. That wasn't a win for them at all because they got him under the Mann Act. And I talked about the Mann Act before. The Mann Act, that was something specifically done to protect white women. Even in the actual law, the Mann Act itself, the law is the White Slave Trafficking Act. It was to protect white women. And they primarily used that law to target black men. They created that law to really go after Jack Johnson. And also they created that law because they found out that there were a lot of white hoes working in brothels and they were giving their money to black pimps. That's really why they made that law. Out there in Chicago and other cities, these white hoes out here, these immigrants who were coming over, start running up on these certified brothers and they were spitting game and they were breaking traps off their ass. They found out all these white women were giving black men this money and they were like, oh no, we got to have a law for that. And plus with Jack Johnson going all around the country making this money traveling with white women, they had to create a law for him too. So the law was, if you travel across the states with white women, well, we're gonna have to prosecute you for immoral purposes. And they made the law deliberately vague so that they can get any black person. They even got Chuck Berry with that law too. You understand? So I don't co-sign that. I'm not co-signing them making some dusting off some special racist law to get R. Kelly. I ain't co-signing that. I'm not co-signing that at all. And again, that ain't no win for black girls or black women. That is not a win for them at all. And plus, the white supremacists, what they were doing, they were going after R. Kelly in order to have him as a shield and a deflection from all the white pedophiles. You know? So yeah, we don't have to co-sign everything just because. See, we don't have to get this. And let me be very clear. A lot of folks who's sitting up here co-signing that, a lot of them are foreign flag Negroes, because when we point out, hey, we can't co-sign this RICO Act and the Mann Act, because what happens is that puts a target on any black person. They can target any black person with that, and that sets a precedent. And if you notice the Negroes online, well, it don't matter. Yeah, I don't give a damn. Well, he did what he did. Put him in jail. I don't care if the laws are illegal. Put him in there anyway. Look at the flags of these people, all right? A lot of these are foreign flag Negroes, and they don't mind laws that will target all of us because they want us targeted. A lot of the Tether class, they want us targeted. They want laws that will target all of us because they think, okay, that gets rid of them niggas and I can come move in. Yeah, we want y'all niggas to be targeted by these draconian laws so that I can come over and bring my cousins over from Mali or Uganda and come over here and move in and be the tethers in replace of you. I don't want to hear nothing about no damn Mann Act and RICO statutes. And yeah, somebody made a good point. Charlie Sheen, all the stuff he did, he ain't in prison. No, we're not going to do that. I ain't co-signing that. Yeah, R. Kelly should be out of jail, actually. To be honest, if we're going to go by the law, he should be out. If we're going to go by the law. That's why they had to do all that extra stuff with the documentary and all of that. No, I'm not going to be swayed by the white media when they put up a smokescreen and then try to conflate it with some bogus, racialized statute that shouldn't even be on the books anymore. I ain't co-signing that, ladies and gentlemen. So we got to be very clear about what we co-sign. And again, these white supremacists out here trying to latch on their perverted movements to us with all of this transgender and trans age, and these people can say that they're kids so they can get away with pet. No, I ain't with all that. Let me tell you something. I want y'all to Google some stuff. Let me give y'all some stuff to Google. Even the person who came up with this whole gender identity, it was a man named John Money, Dr. John Money. I want y'all to Google this. While I'm talking to you, I want you to Google this stuff. It was a white man. I think he was up there in Canada. He was the one who kind of popularized the whole gender identity by saying that gender is a social construct. He was promoting this in the 60s and 70s. John Money. He was promoting this stuff. And he did an experiment on some twin brothers. One of the twins had something going on. They had an accident when they circumcised him and messed up his penis. So what he told the family was to raise him as a girl. So as an infant, until he was a teenager, they raised him as a girl. And he realized that, you know, when he got about 13 to 14, that he wasn't born a girl. He was a boy, and he found out what happened. So he immediately wanted to go back to being a boy. Because the doctor told the family, hey, gender is a social construct. If you raise somebody as a girl, it doesn't matter. They will grow up to be normal. That was his whole ideology. You can get a boy, raise him as a girl, and that doesn't matter as long as if they identify with the gender, they will grow up normal like nothing happened. And that wasn't the case. And they raised this boy as a girl, and he was depressed, and he grew up, and he had just all types of suicidal thoughts, and he was all messed up because he was raised one way, and then he tried to live like a man as he got older, and ultimately he blew his brains out. The man killed himself, and even the other twin brother killed himself. So this was a totally failed experiment, and they know it was a failed experiment, but they keep trying to push it. They understand that this makes people confused, and this messes people up when you try to remix their damn gender like that. They know that. And this Dr. John Money guy, this was another dude. And I keep telling y'all, when they go into this gender thing, it always veers into some pedophilia. He was another proponent of certain types of pedophilia being okay. He came up with a term called affectionate pedophilia. Google that if you think I'm playing. Google affectionate pedophilia. He said, well, all pedophilia ain't the same now. You got sadistic pedophilia where they try to harm kids. And then you have affectionate pedophilia where it's not really about sex. It's about an adult loving a child and there being a romantic thing. Family, these folks are sick. Google affectionate pedophilia, family. These folks are sick. And then they try to intellectualize this sick nonsense. And then they try to put it in the curriculum, and then they have to get around us and try to get us to co-sign this nonsense. Not cool at all. So we have to understand what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. And this is why they want to get our kids young. They want to get our babies young. I saw some stuff at an elementary school. They were having kids walking around doing a pride parade in school. Man, they got to get our kids young. They got to get our kids young because, see, what they got to do, the younger the kids are, they understand if you can get into their spirit and break their spirit young, you can control them. I want y'all to understand. The white supremacists have no honor, ladies and gentlemen. We do not want to be like them. And when they understand, when they get young kids, the younger the better, because children, especially babies, I want y'all to understand this. Let's get deep for a minute. Children, especially babies. Babies are still connected or more connected to the spirit realm. We understand when we die, we go into the spirit realm. But we also forget that when we're born, we come from a spirit realm. Am I getting too deep? I don't want to get too deep on y'all tonight. I'm going to get a little metaphysical, but I always bring it back into the physical world because the spirit and the energy, it's a physical thing. Energy is real. Just because you cannot see something, smell it, or touch it, you can still feel it. Energy is real. If you are in your home right now, you're looking at lights. You're looking at certain, if you're listening to me now, you're on your computer. You're looking at your computer. Your computer is powered by energy. You cannot see that energy. The energy doesn't have a smell, but you see the result of that energy. You see a physical result of that energy. Energy is real. Okay? Your spirit is an energy. Your spirit is an energy, ladies and gentlemen. Our bodies are just shells. We are powered, as far as human beings, by an energy, which is the spirit. Our spirit is an energy, okay? And just like an electrical current, currents and energy can be directed or misdirected. You can do certain things with energy. You can channel it a certain way. You can make it a positive or a negative charge. You can do certain things with energy. You can make energy constructive, you can make energy destructive. You can blow things up with energy. You can set fire with energy. You can turn on fans or whatever. You can make things comfortable with energy. Your body's the same way. That's why they want to break our energy, turn our energy and confuse our spirit, confuse our particles, confuse our energy, confuse who we are. You understand? They want to confuse us. They want to mess up our vibration. They want to mess up our frequency. Even with music, music frequencies are different. Remember in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, there was a certain frequency with the music, certain chords you play on a piano. They're happy notes and they're sad notes. All my musicians out there, you know what I'm talking about. Certain notes are programmed to make you feel happy. Some notes are programmed to make you feel sad, if you understand music theory. The energy of that note gives you a certain vibration. Certain drums, certain 808 kicks, that gives a vibration. That's why certain places, you play certain songs in certain clubs, it makes niggas fight. I remember back in the day, you go to certain clubs, they put a certain song on, and that song had a certain energy that turned everybody negative. Everybody wanted to fight and scrap. But sometimes you get around certain people or certain music, the music is positive, that has a more positive effect on the people. Energy is very real. And I'm going back to children. It's very important for them to get our babies and get them as young as possible. Because like I said, going back to babies, babies come from the spirit realm. And babies are very much connected to the spirit realm. That's why we love having babies in our homes. That's why people like newborn babies. They like newborn babies, not just because it's a new child and everybody has to raise the child. As you know, newborn babies, babies bring a spiritual energy into the home. There's a certain spirit that these babies bring because they come in from the spirit realm. So these babies have a spiritual energy. That's why whenever they show images of baby Jesus and all that, there's a halo around the baby. That was a metaphor for just all babies, to be honest. That's a metaphor. That's a metaphor. There's a spiritual energy to that. How many of y'all have kids? All my family in the room. Now y'all have kids and I have kids and we're about to have a new baby. in a couple of months. But all my family who have kids, I want y'all to understand, when y'all have kids, and I know you've seen this, some of your babies, in certain parts of your house, sometimes your babies will be in a room somewhere by themselves talking to somebody. And it's not just them imagining something. Your babies are in a room somewhere interacting with somebody. Have y'all seen that with your children? I'm pretty sure I've seen that with my children. Sometimes you will see your children sitting up interacting with somebody and you like, what the hell is this baby over here doing? And they're having a conversation. They're having baby talk. You can see them laughing and giggling. They're interacting with somebody. Babies do that all the time, and it's not just their imagination. I remember one of my sons at my old house, there was something about the kitchen. In the kitchen area, we would put him in the high chair and he'd be sitting in there eating, and he would look over in a corner, and every time we put him there, he'd be laughing and interacting with someone. He'd be gagging and he'd start laughing and playing with somebody like somebody was there. And it would only happen in this one part of the house. It was always this one part of the house, and it wasn't his damn imagination, because he was like a few months old. Who the fuck he's what is he imagining? He hasn't experienced anything to imagine, like a make-believe person or something. He was interacting with somebody. And your children, if you look at them, they probably do it too. You see them interacting with some imaginary person that you think is imaginary, but there is something there. Because those babies are connected to the spirit realm. That's very real. Y'all remember I showed a video about a year or so ago of a child, of a toddler, of a baby at a cemetery. And this baby started interacting with somebody. I'm going to show y'all let me find the clip. Hold on. No, no, no. Let me find the clip. There's this baby. They went to visit somebody at a cemetery, somebody's tombstone, and the baby started to interact with somebody and gave somebody a kiss. I want y'all to see this for those who don't remember. Hold on one second. Let me play this. Hold on. One second. If y'all remember this, hold on. Hold on. Come on.
Will you wave hello?
Okay. Yeah, that right there was heavy to me. Yeah, that was heavy right there. That was heavy. That baby right there was interacting with somebody. Yeah, that was heavy. That gave me chills when I saw that. This baby wasn't imagining anything. Was she leaned over and gave somebody a kiss? Yeah, that was the ancestors talking to that baby. Let me tell you something. The ancestors are energy too, and we have to honor our ancestors because they need our energy too. I want y'all to understand this. I'm getting a little metaphysical here, but our ancestors, they need us to acknowledge them. They're out here in the spirit realm. They want us to give honor and praise to them. They want us to acknowledge them. This is why the concept of pouring libations, feeding the ancestors, it's very important that we honor them. They're out there. They want us to correspond with them. Yeah, that was a heavy video, man. That little girl up here giving somebody a damn kiss. That wasn't that child's imagination. I'm telling you, these babies are very clicked in with the spirit realm, man. They're very clicked in with that. And we have to honor our ancestors, man. And when we honor them, man, they bring blessings to us. They bring good tidings to us. Look, when I was doing the Hidden Colors film, I was getting so much information just out the blue because I chose to honor those ancestors, and so much information was coming to me. Those ancestors were feeding me information left and right. Information was coming left and right. And the energy of the ancestors made that thing a success. The energy made that a success because we honored the people who put in work. This is why we've been on this thing where we've been honoring our foundational Black American ancestors. See, we, for a long time, we've skipped over our FBA ancestors because we've given a lot of props to the African side of the family, which is okay. But we cannot neglect our foundational Black American family. We start giving them praises and props, the energy will change because that energy will get riled back up. That will give them the spiritual strength to come and help us out. Yeah, water has memory. Yes, it does. Water has memory. That's what that libations thing is. Water has memory. And when you tap in to those, that spiritual water, it works out for you, good or bad. Family, there's a reason, and I talk about this many times, why Lake Lanier out there in Georgia, that lake keeps catching bodies. Because as we know, Oscarville, that's where that town was. That town, that lake was built on top of a Black town. And let me be very clear. Do y'all know that there are hundreds of towns in this country that were flooded? That were Black areas that were flooded by water, that were deliberately flooded all over the country. I'm talking about all the way up in Oregon, there were Black towns that were flooded. All through Alabama, Mississippi, all over the place, there were Black towns that were flooded. The white supremacists deliberately flooded these towns, and we don't even talk about it. And Lake Lanier gets its revenge almost every other week. I show all types of respect to Lake Lanier. I'm not going to go out there BSing around. I show respect to Lake Lanier. You got to respect them ancestors. And this is why a lot of Black folks lived in these swamp areas and formed their own communities, and they understood how they had to respect the ancestors, and that gave them the strength to persevere and survive. This is why, family, we got the maroon flag. This is why we've been promoting this, the maroon flag. This is the new foundational Black American Nation maroon flag, because we are showing honor and respect to our maroon family who was out here fighting in this country for freedom, and they were creating safe havens for people to come to. That's a story, and we're doing a documentary about that. That's a story that has been hidden from us, the Black maroon communities. And I want y'all to understand, look at the flag here. We have the fire, which is the torches they were using, not only for light to survive and to look at and see where they were going, but also they were burning down stuff. Also the two axes, not only for defense, they were using those axes to defend themselves. They were also using those axes to build. We have to understand. Our families understood the importance of defense and building, because when they defended themselves and they lived in independent maroon colonies, they had to build. So they had to go out here, use those same weapons to chop down trees, to clear the brush, to create gardens. So the brothers and sisters were building real communities, log cabins out here in swamp areas all over the southern areas. And that's where the five stars come from. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of maroon colonies all through the South, but there were five primary areas, and that's what the stars represent. The one star represents the Dismal Swamp in the North Carolina area and Virginia area. Okay? Virginia, North Carolina. That other flag, the other star, represents South Carolina. There was another swamp area, those lowlands in South Carolina, the brothers and sisters were repping and putting in work. The next one represents Florida. Florida, all of Florida was a maroon colony, basically. Those brothers turned Florida into a maroon colony. The next one, ladies and gentlemen, is Mississippi. Over there in the swamp areas of Mississippi, that was another primary swamp area. that was a Maroon colony. And the last one, the fifth star, that is Louisiana. They had a lot of Maroon colonies in Louisiana that's never talked about. And if they talk about it, they have to try to take us out of history. But I want y'all to know there were so many Maroon colonies out there in Louisiana, and these brothers and sisters were putting in work. They were living in these Maroon swamps, and they would leave and go, you know, they go take somebody's cattle. They were bodying the white supremacists. They were catching bodies left and right in Louisiana, man. When you go to Louisiana and you see all of these bayou houses and all that, understand these used to be Maroon colonies. A lot of these white folks live in these bayous now, but be clear, during antebellum slavery, all of those swamp houses that you see in Louisiana, these were Maroon homes. These were part of Maroon colonies that black folks established out there. These were part of Maroon colonies. There was one Maroon colony that they kind of give credit to Filipinos now. There's a place called St. Malo. Where my Louisiana people? There's a Maroon village called St. Malo, and they give credit to the Filipinos. They say it was the first Filipino colony, and they try to make it seem like Asia. This is Asian Americans. This was a colony of Asian Americans, and they did this. Look, St. Malo was a black Maroon colony, and the Filipinos, they escaped from a Spanish ship, and they moved there later on, but it started as a Maroon colony for black folks. In fact, let me show y'all the marker there. And they kind of give a very quick mention of the Maroons, but they want to give the props to the Filipinos. No, they did not establish this. They just, the Filipinos basically were brought in there by the black Maroons for safety. And they want to try to give props to the Filipinos. No. Let me show y'all something right here. This is a marker for St. Malo. St. Malo was the first permanent Filipino settlement in the United States in the first half of the 19th century. Filipino sailors established a village on the southern shore of Lake Borgne on a site previously settled by Native Americans and Maroons. So they throw the Maroon thing in there. They don't tell you who the Maroons are, by the way. That means black folks. And even the Native Americans were the black Native Americans, okay? The Native Americans were the black ones because the red Native Americans didn't have a reason to live in the swamp. They could just go live on a reservation or whatever. Why would a Native American who was a red Native American, why would they live in the swamp? The only reason they would live in the swamp is if they were trying to escape slavery. That's the only reason they would live in the swamp. That's why black folks were living in the swamp, so they could escape slavery, so they wouldn't be put into slavery. And by the way, St. Malo, that's the name of a black Maroon. St. Malo was a person. St. Malo was a black Maroon. They killed him, I want to say in the 1790s or the 1780s, but they ended up killing him. But he was a black Maroon. It's named after a black Maroon. You understand? So we got to put these things in context. When they say certain things, no, let's put it all in context. Let's put all this stuff in context when we talk about history. So we got to show honor and respect to the foundation of black Americans who are putting in all of this work out here. We got to show honor and respect to them. And all over the country, there's so many phenomenal foundational black Americans that we don't have to skip over them. We don't have to skip over them at all. We can still give props and praises to brothers and sisters in Africa, that's fine, but I'm not going to skip over so many phenomenal foundation of black Americans who put in so much work here and who's waiting for us to give them props and praises. I'm telling you, man, when we start honoring our forefathers and ancestors, we get strength from that. This is why, family, there's a reason why the white supremacists, they love propping up their white forefathers. There's a reason why, because they want that white supremacist energy. There's a reason why they love talking about Thomas Jefferson. That's why they put them on money, so that they're always circulating, okay? They understand spirit. What is spirit? Spirit is currency. What is money? Money is currency. They understand the spirit. They understand the energy. Money is a currency that circulates, so they put their spiritual ancestors on money so they can circulate them around and keep that energy going. Andrew Jackson and all of these people, these hardcore white supremacists. That's all they are. But they gain their strength from these people because they lift them up every day and they get that white supremacist strength. We have to understand. And then they have us ignoring our riders. See, that's why we have to acknowledge our riders. We have to acknowledge the black folks who was kicking ass. That's why they want us black folks to sit up here acknowledging John Lewis, Clarence Thomas, and this new mammy that they got. They want us to, as black folks, to hold these mammies and Sambos up as our heroes. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not doing that. We're going to call on our ancestors. We're going to give them the energy that they need to come back and assist us, ladies and gentlemen. And that's called being on code, and they can't do a damn thing about us being on code, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. We had a great conversation tonight. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And by the way, people are already asking, when are we going to have some flags ready? We'll have them. We'll put them together. We'll have flags and bumper stickers and all that stuff because people, they're already asking. So we'll have all that at officialfba.com. Officialfba.com. That's the maroon flag right there, the Foundation of Black American maroon flag. We got to pay homage and give honor to those black maroons. These were some super riders, man, that they've been written out of history. Because, see, the thing is, when they talk about black people getting freedom, they talk about the North Star, which is the Underground Railroad going to the North. And they like to talk about the North Star like there was one place that black folks was running to the North, because that gives props to white abolitionists. The white abolitionists were helping out the black folks who were going north. But they don't talk about the other stars, the other five stars, the other five primary maroon colonies that were in the South. That's what we're giving honor to. It wasn't the damn North Star. They didn't have to run all the way to the North Star. They can just go right into them swamps and they would live in there for generations. See, this is what we have to understand. We have to understand our history. But anyway, man, it's been real. I'll be on here all night. Let me get out of here. I got stuff to do, but it's been real, man. I appreciate everybody. Papi Akute and Lila Vuvie to the family. And don't forget, later on this year, we're going to be celebrating the first Foundational Black American themed holiday, Oretasussi. Go to oretasussi.com for more information. That's going to be celebrated on December 24th. We're going to be promoting that all year, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I'm going to holler at you guys. Y'all have a great afternoon, a great evening, and peace.